Objection!
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of Objection. Like we said, we do special editions, and Dan Mancini, does it get more special than this installment?
It does not.
It does not.
This is easily the greatest show we've ever recorded.
I think so. We're pretty psyched. We've talked at length about one of our favorite kind of just cult action movies in recent years. I actually got it to review a couple years ago. Man, it's gone by so quick. But it's Psycho Kickboxer, which was the new name. I believe that the old name was Dark Angel, starring champion kickboxer, Curtis Busch, who we are happy to have on board here. Curtis, how's it going?
Doing good, Dave. Thank you.
Hey, so, this is pretty crazy. We just kind of, we sent you a connection, I think, through your LinkedIn, and you said it had been like, you never really checked it, so we heard back like, it was like a year ago, I think, right, Curtis? That we sent that out, and just the stars crossed, so we just jumped at the opportunity just to kind of connect with you and essentially just share our love of this movie. So I guess we'll get right to it and just ask you, tell us a little bit like before the movie. So you were a pretty accomplished kickboxer, correct?
I was a champion kickboxer and boxer. And a gentleman approached me one day about making a training video for kickboxing. So we shot the video for kickboxing, and then he said, for just a little bit more money than what we spent on the video, we can actually make a feature length movie through the Da Vinci process. And I asked him, well, what's the Da Vinci process? He said, well, we shoot the movie on video, but we put it through the Da Vinci process and it looks like a real film. So it sounded good. So he said, for about $2,000, we could make a full length movie with the Da Vinci process.
Is that what the budget was for the movie?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I know you probably didn't have a huge Disney-like budget, but $2,000 seems small.
No. So we raised the money for the video, but then on one of my trips to the bank to deposit money, you know, I casually asked the teller to give me a balance, and I knew what the balance should be. I just wanted to make sure, you know, it was all up and up, and we were about $2,000 short. And what happened was the guy, he stole the money out of the bank,
what?
Claiming that his wife got in a car accident in Jamaica, and he had to wire the money to Jamaica so the doctors would fix her, or she would die. So just a bunch of shit. So he was off the project.
What? So your first kind of connection with a filmmaker producer turned out to be a crook. Is that what you're saying?
Right, definitely.
Oh man!
So we still had some money left over in the bank, and now everybody's coming to me about the movie. Where before I would just throw them over to the producer because I was just supposedly going to star in it. So we ended up, I ended up becoming like one of the producers of it. So we raised more money, and there wasn't going to be any more Da Vinci process because he was supposedly the only guy who knew about it.
Oh.
So we shot on 16mm film, and the budget of course went up.
Nice.
Yeah, Dan,
this makes me love the movie even more.
Yes,
this
that's right.
Story.
Jeez.
And we do love the movie. So do you prefer the title The Dark Angel or Psycho Kickboxer?
Psycho Kickboxer. Originally, I came up with the title of Psycho Kickboxer. And then another guy who helped co-write the script, he liked the title The Dark Angel. So we just kind of flopped them together and made it Psycho Kickboxer, The Dark Angel. But I think when it got re-released on DVD, they just went with Psycho Kickboxer.
Wisely.
I'm on your side, yeah. Psycho Kickboxer is better because Alex Hunter is a kickboxer and he is psycho.
That's right.
Throughout the movie,
right.
And that's what we love.
So talk to me about, like, so with you being the producer and kind of the driving force here, like, how did it all come together as far as the movie, the kind of tone you went for, you know, just how that, just the whole creative train, how that started rolling?
Well, we hired David Haycox and Marty South to direct and film the movie. And they both had a lot of experience doing TV shows and commercials. And they pretty much accepted the movie as a labor of love. So as opposed to us having to pay them money to direct and film the movie, they pretty much just said, well, just put the money back into the movie, and we're doing this kind of pro bono because, you know, we want to get a feature length under our belt.
Right.
And so, you know, they kind of just did it for nothing. So which saved us a bunch of money. We could get them put back in the film as far as the special effects. So.
And how did – so did you have kind of a sense of what kind of movie it was going to be? Like, did you know what you wanted – you know, what you wanted it to feel like, what you wanted it to look like?
Well, my personal choice was it was going to be like Death Wish, only a kickboxing version of Death Wish. And I told Marty and Dave, I want this to be the bloodiest movie ever made.
Nice.
And they kind of toned down the blood because they said, oh no, you know, because I could want more blood to make it a little more outlandish. But they kind of toned it down because they said it would be too, I guess, comic booky. But I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, maybe more comic booky would have been better. I'm not really
sure. I don't know. There's some exploding heads in that movie that are entirely convincing.
Yeah, the special effects team was called Creations Unlimited. It was a local Virginia special effects team, and they were awesome. They really did some
good
things.
They did a great job, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you telling me, Kurt, are there deleted scenes out there of even gorier Psycho Kickboxer footage? I mean, is there a director's cut with just crazier gore?
I wish, but I don't think so. I think pretty much everything that was filmed was actually put on screen.
Okay, because that I would pay double to see. the unrated director's cut.
That would be awesome.
So I love that you said you wanted to make it outlandish because really that's why it's fun. You know, it's fun because it's over the top and it's I like that. I don't know, I just think I've seen so many. I don't know if you're an action movie fan. I mean, Dan and I are huge action movie guys, and I'm not sure where you fall in the spectrum, but, like, I've seen so many just kind of boring action movies. I get a kick when someone just kind of goes whole hog and has a great time, you know, just putting something out there that, I don't know, just over the top sometimes, you know?
Yeah, well, we sat down, you know, in order for our movie to stand out, we got to make it, you know, more bloody or more gross than what they normally see. That's the only way we're gonna, because especially with our micro budget, you know, we have to do something to make it, you know, feel good. I mean, check this out.
Yeah, and even as a cult film, I mean, you know, people gush over Troll 2 and stuff like that, and I mean, a lot of cult films are actually pretty boring. Troll 2 is incredibly boring, and Psycho Kickboxer is not. Man, it clips along. Constantly. There's not a part of it that I just am not mesmerized by as I watch it.
Well,
I mean, every single scene.
Yeah, Marty and Dave, they co-directed it. And, I mean, they really did a good job. So, I mean, you know, props to them. So, and all the actors in the movie, Rob Dickerson, George Kelly, the main stars, Rod Suter and Tom Story. I mean, even though it was a low-budget movie, and even though we got half our money stolen by the evil producer originally, you know, it all worked out at the end.
Did you use him as, like, inspiration for the villain, you know, the evil producer? Tell me that there's some mannerisms in there.
Well, maybe subconsciously. I'm not really sure. But, you know, once I told him he had to pay back the money, he took the town. I haven't heard from him since.
You could probably draw on that anger when you're doing scenes where you're, like, bludgeoning those guys in the alley, you know, or taking out the dude in the subway shop, you know.
Yeah, were all those thugs, yeah, were they, like, sparring partners of yours or just guys that were in that Virginia
75%
scene?
Yeah, so 75% of them were my students.
Oh, okay.
And the other 25%, we had an opening casting call where, you know, all these martial arts came from different schools around Virginia, you know, to be in the movie. And so we cast them as the other bad guys.
So what kind of, And what kind of action movie? I'm going to assume you like action movies, Curtis. So, like, what kind?
Oh, I love action movies.
Nice. Yes. All right. What kind do you like? Like, what are some of your favorites? And we'll measure them up against what Dan and I tend to talk to and like. So we'll see what wavelength we're on. What are some of your all-time favorites?
Well, I mean, I like the Dirty Harry movies, action movies, and Death Wish. Obviously, Death Wish. even all the way to 1 through 5, all the Death Wishes, I enjoyed. Guys get killed, you know, and the more bloody and splattier it is, the better.
So. That's pretty much our that's like our life credo, so very good. Now, here's a question, too, because this is something we talk about. What do you think of the state of action movies today? Like, even compared to, you know, the 70s and, you know, the 80s when, you know, it was pretty, you know, pretty full of pretty hard R action movies. How would you quantify the state of action movies like today?
Well, I mean, there's some good ones out there, but, you know, I get tired of all the CGI. It's just so prevalent.
Amen.
And it gets so obvious where, you know, when you go to a movie, you want to believe what you see. As soon as the CGI pops out, then you know it's all fake.
Yeah.
And it takes away a lot of the excitement. Like the old school one, remember the old school, Jason the Argonauts, like from the 50s, where it's all, you know, the model thing, you know, the models,
right, the animation. Motion,
the
motion stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that was cool because, I mean, that was cool, but now it's just all CGI. It's kind of like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's something we lament as well. And, you know, it's the kind of movies I like are the ones that tend to star, you know, guys who are doing a lot of their own stunts, who are legitimately skilled. So, you know, yourself as a martial artist, do you like watching that stuff? Whether it's, I don't know, just someone you know who knows what he's doing. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it is someone who's like a Tony Jaa or someone like that. Do you appreciate those kinds of performances, those kinds of movies?
Yeah, I mean, when you see like a real fighter, I appreciate it more than just watching an actor who you can tell he's just choreographed, who you know in real life doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But because it's choreographed, that makes it seem like he knows what he's doing. But when you see real fighters do it, you appreciate it because then you know that they can really do it. So.
Nice.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, nice. Dan, what else? You got something else on your mind?
Let's see.
Well, I will say.
Write a few down. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just going back to the movie, I suppose I just want to, do you think Alex Hunter is legitimately psycho, in your opinion, Curtis? Is he crazy?
Yeah, I think once you saw his Scott father and his fiance gang raped and his father's head get blown off, I think he pretty much went to the dark side. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think if you see your father murdered that
I think
way,
so, yeah.
Have no hope.
I think that explains some of the intense violence. I think, you know, when just laying waste to those thugs. I guess you could see that. And I always like, you know, who were the two radio guys in the movie? You know, essentially they're delivering a lot of the plot details kind of in between. Who were those guys?
That was Kurt Etheridge and Jimmy Ray Dunn. And Kurt was actually my classmate in high school. And then he became one of my students at my karate school, and so he was actually a real DJ. So naturally, we hooked him up to play the DJs in the movie. So, and nice. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, they were definitely you know injected a lot of energy in it, and it was always funny the juxtaposition, you know, because they seemed to really have fun with the roles, you know, but always. It seemed like right around the corner was just this gruesome death, you know. So this juxtaposition was great. It's like, you know, they were definitely having fun with the roles, and then boom, all of a sudden, there's another exploding head.
and actually, we wanted that in the movie as far as, you know, we wanted the fun stuff because you know it was over the top, and you needed those moments of comedic relief to, I guess, keep it going.
Yeah, I think here's my challenge to you, Dan. Favorite psycho kickboxer kill. And then let's try to see if Curtis maybe give us a backstory on maybe who came up with that or how that was pulled off. But Dan, I'll let you go first. Your favorite kill in Psycho Kickboxer?
Mine is the guy getting his head run over.
Okay, you did steal mine. You stole mine. But, well, so guy getting his head run over, the wannabe carjacker in the scene.
Yes.
Which the woman took a lot of joy in running that dude's head over.
She did.
So
that was a great scene. And the guy that played the carjacker was actually a newspaper reporter who was covering the movie. So he said, "Hey, you're covering the movie. Do you want to be in the movie?"
Nice.
So we got a great scene for you. And so the girl that ran over his head was actually his girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's that was a nice scene.
Yeah, actually, I'll go with it was the subway shop scene that I was thinking of, where Alex wastes the wannabe mugger, you know. And I love, you have to tell me if this was ad lib, but when the owner started saying, "Hey, you know," he's like, "You forgot your sub, or you want your sub, right?" Was that
two subs? Yeah.
Yeah, I owe you two subs. Yeah, was that ad libbed or was that part of the script?
No, that was actually in the script.
Oh, no. So I was thinking that's just great. Like the dude, you know, you just waste this mugger, and for your troubles, you get two subs. You know,
and the mugger.
Funny story about that. The mugger in the subway store, he actually owned the subway store. Nice. So he said, "Hey, do you want to be in this movie? We need to the store. So we're going to make you a bugger."
I'm just picturing this production, Curtis, of like, you guys are just like, "Hey, you want to be in this movie?" You're just kind of really bringing the community in. Was that what it was like? You were just grabbing, "Hey."
That's exactly it. That's why, you know, all the locations that we got for free, only because, you know, everybody wants to be in a movie. So, "Hey, you want to be in a movie? Oh, by the way, can we borrow your restaurant for a night?" And, you know, that's how it worked out. And it worked out great because we didn't have to pay a dime.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
So I got to say, too, that, you know, people can keep Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
You know, Burgess Meredith.
Right.
Joshua is he's probably my favorite trainer guy in an action movie, maybe ever. So
yeah,
what is the
that.
Backstory with that actor and – you know, just some of your scenes with him are excellent, hilarious.
Yeah, Rod Suter, the actor who portrayed Josh, he's a great actor. You know, he carried the film because I personally can't act worth a shit. Oh, excuse me if I said that, but
sorry,
I can kick a little bit. But Rod's a good actor. I mean, and so he did awesome. He did a really good job.
Yeah, I loved how his. You know, and this is like all the action movies, but I love his warehouse was just this like awesome gym. Is this like a local gym you like trained at or something?
No, that's actually one of the investors in the movie, he owned a bingo hall, and that was actually filmed upstairs of his bingo hall. He had a empty attic warehouse, and so we made that into the Joshua's gym.
Nice. I love this movie magic. So, was a lot of the money, you know, obviously the money that you had, was a decent percentage of it given to, like, the gore effects, the special effects?
Yeah, most of the money went to the cost and the cost of the film and the special effects.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we did pay the actors. You know, the real actors were speaking parts. We paid them $50 a day to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually made more money than me because I didn't get nothing per day. Cause I figured since I was one of the producers of the movie, I would see the money. You know, when it made its millions.
Which, that's right.
which of course it never did. So.
Now.
Yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because we're trying to make it happen.
We are trumpeting it, for sure.
One person at a time.
thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, let's have fun, too. If you could franchise the Psycho Kickboxer, you know, what would you take Alex Hunter in Psycho Kickboxer 2? You know, even Psycho-er, we'll say. What would you do with him? Would you, if you could do whatever, would you just go all out with the gore? You know, would you just go and, like, would you just really go over the top?
Yeah, I would definitely go over the top, like, well, at least five times more blood, and they could probably like drop them off. Like back when Osama bin Laden was alive, we could drop them off into Afghanistan or Iraq.
Oh,
you know,
man.
He'd be killing Taliban and Al Qaeda left and right, and then at the end of the movie, he can hook up with Osama and get rid of him.
Oh, that could be the greatest movie.
The only movie greater than Psycho.
Okay, here's a question: you've got Alex Hunter. Who do you team him up with? Who do you team him up with in Psycho Kickboxer 2 to take on some of those guys? Like, what's an action hero that you think would be great to team him up
with? Well, since I grew up loving Clint Eastwood, it would be Clint Eastwood's character in his, what's the movie that he made? The last one that he made with it where he had a car and he killed all the local gang members.
Oh, Gran Torino?
Torino, yeah.
Gran Torino, right. I'll bring his character back to life.
So the ornery guy on the block teamed up with the Psycho Kickball man. That's gold.
Yeah.
That is gold. Any fun anecdotes? Anything you think of? Any other little fun stories from the filming? You know, that you just get drenched in blood food coloring and you lost the whole wardrobe, maybe? Any other behind-the-scenes peeks to Psycho Kickboxer you can give us?
Well, when we shot the scene where the carjacker got his head rolled over, that was about 20 degrees outside, and he had to keep laying down on the ground, the wet ground, because it was raining that day. And he was on the verge of hypothermia before he finally wrapped that scene. So that was a rough day for that guy. He was in some serious pain.
And actually, how about the fight scenes? Did you choreograph all those?
Yeah, I pretty much choreographed about 90% of the fight scenes. And you know, we people would always come in with their own suggestions on things, and then you know, if it worked, we would use it. It was a big collaboration. Everybody kind of did a little bit. Everybody helped out with everything.
Did you have any input with the DVD release? Like, you know, because maybe, you know, there weren't really any extras or like a commentary track or anything. So, like, what was your role with the DVD release?
They just called me up and said, hey, we're going to make a DVD. So can you send us some news clips from the making of the movie? So I sent them a couple of news clips, news stories, and that's pretty much what they used.
Okay. I've always wondered how that process goes. You know, when they find these kind of these hidden gems, these cult movies, you know, how the process of releasing them. So sounds pretty easy, actually, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice. Dan, you got anything else weighing on your mind, Psycho Kickboxer wise?
Let's see. Well, it's not Psycho Kickboxer wise, but did I read correctly that you're going to be in Battleship?
Yeah. So if you blink, you'll miss me. Even if you don't blink, you might miss me. But yeah, but that was fun. You know, because that's a big movie when it comes out. As far as with the special effects, but I went to I went to the open casting call, and actually the casting director pulled me out of the audience and said and took my name and said, I want you to read for a part. So I was all excited. So she gave me the lines to read or to memorize, and I met with her a couple of days later to actually do my audition. And it was a serious scene. It was a life and death scene. And you know, I told you before, I can't act worth a crap. So I did this serious scene, and in my mind, you know, I was thinking Oscar.
Nice.
But when my scene was over, the lady was laughing out loud.
Oh, jeez.
You have to remember, this is a serious scene. It's not a comedy scene. It's a serious scene.
Oh, jeez.
So she came up to me and gave me a big hug. And said, don't worry, I'll still put you in the movie.
Well, hey, a pity casting still counts. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, you got to have a sense of humor about that stuff. And that's something that Dan and I really like. That's why I said your Kickboxer, just because it's a fun movie. Yeah, it's pretty hardcore, and there's some, like, shockingly dark stuff that happens. But, I mean, you just keep that fun B-movie action tone going. And this is no joke, and Dan and I were saying this. I mean, there's probably a ton of movies on my rack that I'll part with, and, like, I'll keep Psycho Kickboxer on there because it's a good time, and whenever I show it to people, they have a good time with it as well. So
yes, the most unlikely people. We can show it to them.
Absolutely.
And they will like it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Wives, you know.
That's right. My wife.
People who don't like action movies.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, you should know that you're breaking boundaries. The Psycho Kickboxer is breaking boundaries.
That's so awesome. I love it.
So, but, yeah, I think we're done bugging you, Curtis. We appreciate the connection because, yes. Yeah, seriously, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, to anyone listening, I'm always wary of DVD cases overselling, you know, their movie, right? So
right.
When you pull up, if you pull up Psycho Kickboxer on Amazon, or you check out my review at DVDverdict.com, and, you know, Dan, maybe we should do like a revisit joint review one of these days.
Yeah.
But if you see the cover for Psycho Kickboxer, you see a dude's head flying off. And when I first got
getting
that.
Kicked off.
Kicked off, absolutely. Yeah. And Curtis, when I first got that DVD, like, you know, what hooked me was the title, because the title rocks, obviously. But I was like, I've been let down by so many of these wannabe provocative DVD covers. But it didn't take long before I realized that Psycho Kickboxer was delivering the B-movie goods. So, yes. And it did so for the whole time. So just a lot of fun. And we just really appreciate you connecting to us all the way from Hawaii, no less.
Yeah, and I also have to say, regarding the cover of the DVD, that my six-year-old son is dying to see this movie at some point.
Nice.
When he's old enough to, because he just loves the fact that a dude is getting his head kicked off on the cover of that DVD. It's like,
that scene was actually supposed to be in the movie, but by the time we got near where we needed that scene to be done, there was actually no more money left to build the head to kick off the shoulders.
Awesome. So, who is going to get their head kicked off? There's some tasty gossip.
Just one of the bad guys in the final fight scene.
Right. The one of like the group of guys that you fight, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which I always love how like all these like world class fighters they were flown like overnight, right? To face you. That was great.
Like FedEx.
FedEx over just to get smoked by you. That was great.
You know, if once you sit back after you watch the movie and you think about it, you realize how unbelievable it is. Like, how did Joshua drag the unconscious body of Alex all the way back to his gym?
In a wheelchair, right?
In a wheelchair. How'd that happen?
And we've always loved the fact that Joshua is a Vietnam vet, but he wasn't put in a wheelchair in action in Vietnam. He came back, and then Hawthorne.
Yeah, yes.
Shot him while he was trying to protect a woman that Hawthorne was going to kill. I love that.
Now,
that was our Sixth Sense twist in the film.
Yeah, my favorite. I love how Alex always is at the right place at the right time, just when something's about to go down. So my question is, he a superhero? Does he have like psychic abilities?
Low budget superheroes, but that's what I love about the movie too, because no matter where Alex was in the city, if there was going to be something bad going down,
right.
He just happened to be there to save the day.
So it's like, so you can argue that he actually caused all the trouble because Murphy showed up all the
best. Or he just lives in the most violent city in America.
That's true. Maybe it is. Maybe you're from Detroit or something.
Yeah, well, it was filmed on the mean streets of Virginia Beach, and we know how dangerous that is.
And I got to pull up my review to speaking of Joshua, probably my favorite quote in the movie, well, I'll be damned. You just never know when you'll find a half-dead white boy in this town. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was a great line. We'd love that line.
Fantastic. Oh, man, well, I could go on all night, but I know you're a busy guy, so we'll let you go. But one more time, just thanks, Curtis, for taking the time to chat with us. You have two genuine fans of this movie.
Yes.
It is a ton of fun. We're very discerning in kind of our good time B cult action movies, and this one, you know, is legit. So you know, for sure. So on behalf, we appreciate the time you gave to us tonight.
Well, thank you, and I love reading your reviews. They're so funny. And you guys always you always nail your reviews. Hey. That's what I like about you guys.
Nice. All right. Well, good luck, Curtis, and we'll wait for the Blu-ray edition of Psycho Kickboxer. And if you
cool, hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, you make that happen, and we will Dan and I will volunteer to do an audio commentary with you if need be, and we will just gush over it. So
yeah,
you put us on speed dial. If the Blu-ray director's cut that we're going to start a rumor about right now, if that happens, we'll jump on. All right, man. Thanks a lot, Curtis. We'll talk.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
See ya.
Take care. Yeah.